True transparency.
True transparency. True transparency.
True transparency.
True transparency. True transparency.
Today's true.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are in the place to be. It's Tierney.
Oh.
And this is True Transparency. Man, it feels good to record again. It's been a while. A couple months I've been traveling, seeing the world, both domestically and abroad. Went to Chi-Town. I really enjoyed that. That was a good time. Have either of y'all been to Chicago before?
I went when I was younger. I don't remember much about it.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you something. This is a shout out. So I was there. Funny story before we get talking about today. I was in Chicago and I went to this hotel called the London House. The London House. And it was right across the street from Trump building. Now, let me tell you something. The whole point of this story is not to talk about Trump. But that was a really nice building. I'm not going to lie. That thing was huge. And Trump's name is like the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. But nonetheless, I just wanted to tell you, he builds a pretty impressive building. But catching the elevator up, I saw all people, Ludacris, at London House. And so I guess he and his wife were going up to the top trying to have a meal on the roof. I felt very, important or presidential, going up there, going up to the rooftop. It was probably the most beautiful view in Chicago. So if you ever get to Chicago, go to the London House and sit on the roof and have a drink and look over that whole area. It's beautiful. Nonetheless, had a great time, but I am glad to be back in the place to be. What's going on with you now? What's new?
Got a promotion at work, which is always cool. Hard work pays off. Now, I challenged myself to turn off the TV and start reading more books. I'm trying to read 100 books before the end of the year, which I don't think is going
to
happen.
Hold up. You just started and you're trying to read 100 books?
Yeah. An extreme amount of dedication. But right. I'm giving myself a full year to actually do the challenge. But I'm just setting a bar high, seeing how far I can get in that time period. So I'm down 4 books in the last 3 weeks. Small feat for a person who wasn't reading like that. So, stepping out, reading bigger books, I'm finally going to put some dents into some books I have laying around my apartment. Finally, finish those off and keep going.
Man, that's cool. So, I did read something interesting that said CEOs or people who are very successful read on average about 4 to 5 books per month. 4 to 5 books per month. So I'm trying to get into that arena as well of reading, because I believe reading really lets your mind go into a place that you really needed to go to, whether it's being sharpened for your career or just getting more insight and more depth into, culture and figuring out different things about different cultures. It's a really useful tool. And so I'm going to try to utilize it as well. But for the most part, I've been having some really big conversations as we've started reading books. Because I've come to realize that I've had the most interesting conversations in about the last 2 weeks about life and how differently we see life, right? Mm-hmm. The different things. So I'm going to put this out there. So 2 days ago, I downloaded a really popular album, Lil Wayne album. Okay. And, first of all, Lil Wayne is one of those people that operates by his own sets of rules and his own thought patterns and everything. You can tell even by his music. But when you think about life and the rules for life and how each and every person perceive things differently, because we were driving up here and I was bumping the Lil Wayne CD, the Carter 5. Y'all heard it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, so watch. This is the perfect example. Yo. I thought Lil Wayne's, and I'm not even a Lil Wayne fan. Let me go ahead and put that out there. I haven't listened to all the mixtapes and all that kind of stuff, but I decided to give it a listen to. Me and I have already had this conversation in the car. We've already had it. Because I was like, yo, as soon as you got in, did you listen to the album? It's been 2 days. What do you think? And his response was,
yeah, I listened to it. I didn't like it.
Okay. So he didn't like it. Yo, did you like it?
I listened to it
through all the way through once. I didn't really give it a like the proper listening treatment, but I liked the things that I heard. Yeah,
that's it. So I liked it. Okay, so being that I'm not a Lil Wayne fan, the first thing that I did was download it and then check the lyrics of the songs and just went down and started listening to it. Of course, I'm from Louisiana, so I want to hear something that got a little beat to it as well. But I actually liked some of the content of the songs. It's a deep album, though. Man, it has like 23 tracks on it. So it's like a really long album. But just us talking about that, the thing that you said in the car is the thing that kind of stuck with me. And you were like, it's amazing how we like different things, how things speak to us or affect us differently, because he was completely unmoved. See, he's being bashful here, folks.
I'm not really being bashful.
No, because the thing is, yo, let me tell you what it really was. He got in the car. He said, I didn't go past track 3. He didn't say, oh, I didn't like the album.
Oh, okay. So
he was like, I didn't go past track 3.
I didn't go past track 3. I didn't like it.
So my thing is, how you going to rate a whole album?
Wait. Listen to me. Here's what I did. This is my litmus test for listening to music. Because I'm a person who holds music to be something of great worth, I have my own filters, right? So I start an album from start to finish, or at least I try to, and I play it in exactly the way that it is put down there. No shuffling, right? If I can't get past the third track, I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to get better for me. It's not. Now, I compare that to something else where I can just move through the entire album several times and not even know that the album is over. I think that's an amazing album. Buddies, Hollerin', and Allura, excellent album. I can play that backwards and forwards. I couldn't do this to Lil Wayne. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to listen to this Lupe instead.
Anyway, so we're talking about it. I don't think that's a fair shake. But this goes into the topic that we're really trying to get into today, about the rules in which you live your life. So his rule is, if I can't get past, you know, track three, the album sucks. Now, keep in mind, folks, I said that there are 23 tracks on this album, okay? 23. And so you're basically saying I'm going to discount 20 additional tracks because that's just the rule that I live by my life.
Yes, basically.
All right.
I'm not going to say the album sucks. I'm just going to say I didn't like it.
Right. Perfect transition to what we're talking about today. The rules by which you live your life, okay? So we're in our 30s. So, I mean, we're not young, but we're not old. So we're right here on the cusp of big things happening in our life. And we want to talk about the things that influence who we are to this day. And I'm going to be honest with you. The stuff that I probably will say today, if you had asked me 10 years ago, that would not have been the rules that govern my life. Okay, we see a lot of different things going on in society, and we'll bring up some of the stuff that's going on because they had some big stuff happen this week with some people. And we'll bring those up as we go through it. But I want you to listen to what we came up with as far as the five. We narrowed it down. It's not exhaustive. The five rules. And yo, you can chime in anytime you want to, because I have a feeling that me and Niall's rules are going to be completely different. I mean, we couldn't agree on a damn Lil Wayne album. So I know that when we talk about how we process things through life, that it'll actually be way different. And you think about, how old are you again? No?
30.
So you're 30. And I'm over 30. And I'm over 30. So I'm going to let you know. I'm approximately 6 years over 30. And so I'll let you know at this point in my life what I think govern me. But normally in life, women go first. But I'm going to, you know, yield and let you go first and say, what are the five things, you know, that govern you? Because I've broken mine down into categories, because I have five major categories that kind of, you know, lead my life. And so I know the rules that I have now.
Okay. Well, thank you for extending that gesture to me. Mm-hmm. All right. Rule number one is something that I've been struggling with my whole life because of rule number two. Rule number one is nothing's personal. And it took me a long time to realize that people weren't out to, you know, screw my day up. Because, you know, if you grew up a certain way, you eventually become one of those people who feels like you're special, you're unique, and that can lend to you having a sense of entitlement. And I have a sense of entitlement that I'm learning to deal with. And this rule helped me realize that, you know, people are just being people. At the end of the day, shit happens, and it could suck. You know, my boss could yell at me for something. You know, I could have a run with my kid, blow me. Or I could, you know, have a interaction with my spouse or significant other and just feel completely shitty about it. But it's not something that they meant to do to me. Nothing is personal. So instead of, you know, just blaming that person, just blame the issue and move on. That's rule number one.
Nothing is personal. I'll save my rules because they'll probably contradict what you just said. I believe everything is personal.
Yeah, I'm kind of on that side.
I believe everything is personal. As long as there's a person involved, I believe it's personal. There are people, in my opinion, that live to fuck up your day.
So there are people you think they wake up and their literal first thought is, ooh, I'm a herder with this one.
In some cases, yes.
Okay. Moving on. Rule number two, choose your values wisely. My whole life, my dad has been giving me a series of mnemonic devices to help me memorize certain things. More so than the rest of these sayings, all of them have been towards being confident in yourself and not being too nice, but taking charge. The army's in your fort, the ball is in your court, and they march at your command. Don't be so nice that you're, don't be so good that you're no damn good, and a series of others. Because of this, I didn't get it. It was just one of those things my dad made me say. And this year, turning 30, I realized that I had this sense where I needed to be nice all the time to people. I didn't want to hurt people's feelings, even if mine were going to be hurt by what they said or did. And I would just try to be too nice. And I realize now that that shit is going to kill you. It's not real. You have to be who you are. You have to choose your own value system. And I valued being nice over taking responsibility for the shit I want to do and shit I want to say and being who I really wanted to be. So being nice was an obligation, and it didn't make me feel like a better person. It was just some shit I had to do in order to feel like a person. And that's because I chose the wrong value system. You live your life by a set of values. And that's how you judge whether you're performing at the top of your game, I am who I need to be, or you're not at all. And that's based on the values that we come up with and we decide on every day that we either accept from other people or we make our own. And I chose a really shitty one with that one, and I'm learning to deal with that. And I'm learning to make other ones to stack myself up against to make sure that life looks like what I want it to look like.
That's cool. We all have our set of values that we live by. So just I'm not going to attack your rules, but I would like to discuss one of them. So when you think about values, where do you think values come from? Do you think it comes more like from your family or from like society and culture?
Between those two? It's like those are the only two choices, A or B?
I mean, I think culture is all encompassing, but when you think about it, I mean, you're nurtured by your family, and then you have culture, which includes, you know, school, music, movies, different things. And so, to me, those are the only two options. But if you have more than that, yeah.
I venture to say that you choose your own values, and you make what you want to believe, right? Just because your family tells you to do something doesn't make it something that you decide to do. Like, your parents could have told you, oh, you need to be a doctor your whole life, and you decided, I want to be a teacher, right? You made that choice. Just because a family member gave you a particular vision or value, you don't have to accept it. At the end of the day, you make the choice for yourself.
Yeah, but I don't think this whole thing. So let's get into this, all right? Can you really make choices for yourself? Like, do you just have shit that just comes out of thin air into your mind, or are you influenced by an external force? I don't think you just say, well, I just made up my mind. No, I chose from options. And the thing is, if somebody said, yeah, you're going to be a doctor, and then you get out and you experience life, or you engage in culture, and you realize for you, that's not going to be a doctor because of this experience that I had. You know, now I want to be a teacher because I got out amongst these, you know, kids that I wanted to teach or something like that. I just don't believe in my set of, my point of view that we are just like, oh, I just decided I wanted to do this. It's influenced by something.
It isn't. Influencing something doesn't mean that, at least in my opinion, just because something influences me doesn't mean that it makes my decision for me. At some point, you have to take, well, I believe you should take personal responsibility for everything you choose, right? In this case, the values that you decide to align yourself with, right? You can decide that, hey, I want to be a millionaire and work towards that. That is your value system. You chose to do that. Now you can make that rationalized by saying society says I should be rich, but you decide to get up every morning and go in that direction. So at some point, even though something could be blamed or influenced, it doesn't mean that you negate that choice and that decision.
Keep it kicking.
Moving on. All right. Rule number three, be someone you look up to, but keep it humble. Being a father, I now look at how my daughter looks at me. So I try not to do certain things. I try not to cuss around her or listen to music that would lend her to look at me in a particular fashion. And that's not always healthy. Trying to be a hero and not, you know, really showing that you're a human being. But trying to put that in perspective for her has put things in perspective for me about how I want to depict myself, who I want to be, and taking my image seriously. So that helped me. Rule number four, do something creative. I need to write way more often than I do. I know it. It's something that I have that sends a reminder to my phone. It's something I wake up in the morning thinking about. And when I don't do it, I don't feel as fulfilled with the day as I should. And I realized that doing something creative like writing is a way to just get myself out there to let things go. And so in being creative, I think we utilize parts of our brain that lie dormant and don't really get the activity that they need. And we, you know, let some things go. We refresh ourselves by doing creative things. And the more often we do it, the better we feel. So I think more people should spend time doing something creative that they believe to be creative, whether it's drawing, whether it's painting or something like that. We need to be active. And then my last rule, there can only be one, from Highlander. And I take that to mean that there can only be one life where you are you. I'm not going to say that reincarnation doesn't exist. I don't know. But I am Niall right now, and I should be the best Niall that I can be, because there's only one existence that I can really think of right now, and that's this one. So why not make it the best?
Okay. I mean, that's cool. This is the reason why we don't agree on, like, you know, the Lil Wayne album. Because I don't even really get that deep, but I understand that you really get into it. Let me tell you guys, this guy is deep, okay? He goes and he peels back the layers, but I respect you trying to be the greatest now that you can be.
Thank you.
I really do. Now on to the foolishness in which I live my life, all right? This is real, because this is something I've actually been thinking about. I don't get that deep anymore. And so this is not a crack on you. Have you ever talked to somebody that's so deep that you'd be like, I don't really know what the hell you're saying?
Sometimes.
No, they have people out there. We thrive on being deep and thrive on being complex. The thing about life is, my first rule is, life is fucking simple. We make it so damn complex. We make everything so much more harder than the way that it's supposed to be. Life is really simple. It's about reducing things to simplicity. I was reading a book this week, and I can't censor the title. I'm sorry. The name of the book is actually The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And I read it. And, like, you know, I bought the audiobooks. You know me. I was like, I wonder if they're going to bleep out the word or if he's going to do it. No, not only do they not bleep out the word, the guy uses the word fuck about 100 times in the first chapter. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. But the whole way throughout the book, he's talking about the problem with us is we have too many choices in life. We have too many choices. And that's the thing that really messes us up, is that we're trying to figure out, can we please this? Can we do this? It's really a simple thing. Life is super simple. And I've been working to try to get, you know, simple. And it's hard, because when you have 36 years of crap packed into you, it's all about unpacking and making things simple. So the first thing is, life is simple. Just live that bitch. Like, get up. The biggest thing he said to me is, like, happy people don't stand in front of a mirror and say, today I'm going to be happy. Today I'm going to do everything that I choose to be happy. I'm going to be happy. Damn it, I'm going to be happy. They just wake up and they be like, you know, I'm alive in this piece. I'm about to live this thing out, and let's figure out how we can make it work. And they do have people now that I believe that wake up that are just so messed up in life that they live to be a nuisance to other people. They do. they live to be a nuisance. They got women out here that live that are a nuisance to their child's father. They got men that are a nuisance to women. They got children that want to be a nuisance to their parents and vice versa. They have those people. But then they also have those people that get up and just be like, I'm going to live my damn life. It's going to be simple. I'm going to just try to get out here and do the best that I can with this allotted time that I have and just bam. So the first thing is life is simple. Number two, rules change depending on who they apply to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rules change. So we can go through this whole show and we can name this in five things, but that they can change like tomorrow. And so the one thing is I'm not married to the way that I think today, because the thing is I might change the way that I'm thinking next week. And so the one thing is I think we do as humans too much is once we profess something or we say, this is what I do, or this is how I do it. That's the trap. Because if you change, then people are going to hold you fucking hostage to how you professed, how you thought. Oh, I believe this, or I'm never going to just think about it. Think about it from a religious standpoint. They have so many people that be like, man, you know, I'm saved or I'm sanctified or I'm this or something. And they get out there and they profess it. And then they have a change of heart. Has anybody ever seen somebody really get attacked when they have a change of heart on something, especially when it comes to something as sensitive as like religion? Well, you know, I don't know if I believe that anymore. Well, what the hell you mean you don't believe that anymore? You're not allowed to change your mind. This is there. And it changes. It changes. If you look through the Bible, different things that were acceptable in old times through now, they change. In life, shit changes. Let's take current events, for example. Okay. Different rules apply to different people. And once you accept that, you can say, oh, well, I just refused it. Man, you can accept that and you revert back to my number one and make your damn life simple, or you can complicate it. Everybody saw this week. Y'all know who went to jail this week?
Pudding Pops. Jello Jiggly.
Yeah. So, man, did y'all, just a side note, did y'all see the pictures circling around the internet when he reported for his mugshot? They have like one with like a cross in the middle and a teardrop and some dreads.
I didn't see that one.
Oh my gosh. I started dying laughing. Not because it's a ridiculous situation. I was just like, why do we do shit like that? Like, this is a really important thing that's going on. And we choose to doctor up the picture, photograph the picture. And, I mean, what do you call the thing when you edit it? Photoshop the picture and everything. But that was some real shit. Like, I was sitting up there like, damn.
That's a coping mechanism.
I was like, they sent Cliff Huxtable to jail.
No, they sent Bill Cosby to jail. Let's not put that on Cliff. Cliff was a good person.
But, you know, Cliff Huxtable. Yeah, Cliff Huxtable was class husband. You know what I'm saying? That was different.
Let's not say that name.
Bill Cosby went to jail. Was it for 3 to 10 years? Was that it? I think it was about 3 to 10 years.
3 to 10, yeah.
And so you just think about that dude, man. The dude is old. Man, that dude is not young. And so, like, I'm thinking, like, is he going to die in prison? And is this it for him? And I'm thinking about the timing in which all of this stuff happened. And I'm not one to victim bash. I'm just saying, like, things are very coincidental how all of this played out. But then on the flip side, we have several people who have admitted, got caught on tape saying stuff, have lines of women. They ain't going to jail. Some of them holding office. Some of the highest offices. So different rules apply to different people. If you went to work and you said, and you were just in the office and you turned around to somebody was like, man, yeah, that girl fine, you know, I might just go grab her by the pussy. You think you go have a job by the end of the day? I'm just saying, you think you go have it?
Where I work, probably not.
I'm just saying.
Going to jail in general.
It's just a point of, you know, you talk to somebody. I mean, that's a rule, right? That's a standard. But, and I'm not saying what he did wasn't right. But the thing is, there are different rules for different people. Like, y'all remember that kid that got caught raping the girl? Like, he was in the act of raping a girl. She was passed out. And he was in the act. He was like a swimmer or something, yeah, like Stanford.
I remember what you're talking
about. And he got
about.
Like 6 months and then 3 months for good behavior. And then they had a football player that got convicted who happened to be black. Who got convicted for the same thing, and he got 5 years in prison.
So let me ask you a question. What's the difference between a rule and a law?
What's the difference?
That's what I'm asking you. What's your definition of it?
And I think they're the same.
I think they're different. Laws are made by human, for the most part. You know, the laws of society are will change as long as society changes. Then you have laws of gravity and natural laws that aren't going to change. There's rules that aren't going to change. There are laws that we make that change all the time, but not like natural stuff. So when you say laws, I'm hearing rules. When I say rules, are you hearing laws?
Man, I'm just hearing rules.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about, going so damn deep, like all the time. Like I'm just saying.
I'm trying to find out your definition because I don't agree with what you're saying. I don't think that rules are definitely different for each person because we choose what rules we want to abide by. But laws with society are going to change all the time. So of course,
so you're saying rules. So are you talking about your five laws? Are you talking about five rules?
The stuff
that you
rules.
Just the things that you just said can change.
Rules.
Right. Rules can change. Laws can change. All of them can change.
They can change.
Like, I don't understand what you're saying. They can change. All of them can change just based upon, just think about it. Just think about it. When you were younger, you know, you might have had a rule. I'll give you a rule that most girls have, you know. I ain't gonna say all of them, but, you know, nice, wholesome girls. They might be like, you know, I'm not having sex till I get married. I'm gonna save this cookie for the man. The man that I marry. And then you get in a situation, you be like, well, we was in a situation. That was a rule by which I governed my life. But that rule has now changed. I will never do this, or I am one of these people that is governed by this vein of thought. It changes. And that's the one thing that we have in society that's making this shit so hard, is the fact is people just in themselves change. We as human beings go from being babies, infants, toddlers, adolescents, young adults to older. Just the natural progression of your life will change. And so the fact is rules will change and they apply differently. They will. There's certain things that happen, and I just think that we make shit too complex. It's literally, life is simple, rules can change. And how do you stay free? That's how people stay free, they change the rules. We've sat here and talked about this for months, years on end, that whoever makes the rule can change the rule. And if you're saying the vein of thought is, I make the own rules that govern my life, then I can change them motherfuckers anytime I want to. I can say, hey, think about, what's the girl name? What's the white girl that thinks she black? Rachel or something?
Rachel Dolezal.
So she makes the rule, I'm going to be black. She can change that stuff. Tomorrow she can be white. Then the next day she can turn around and be black again. She's making the rules by what she believes and what she thinks. I just think about, when I think about rules, things that govern us, that we allow to either be influenced by society, you know, family, whatever. Things that are influenced that we allow to govern us. And we can make them and we can break them. That's the way that I feel. That's what I feel. But I'm going to keep moving on my list.
Proceed. Okay.
So that's number three. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. And that should govern how you live your life from day to day. And I know you're like, well, life is simple. It is. Rules can change. They can. But the one thing is, your relationship with God is your relationship with God. This is at the basis of everybody's thing. Because I saw somebody put a post this week that said, man, Christianity has to be one of the pushiest religions I've ever seen. You don't see people from Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism out there trying to recruit you and make sure that you know that you have to do this. The only religion that does that is Christianity. I would beg to differ on that. I would say also Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. They do a lot of work of being in your face and evangelizing and working and everything. But they sparked a debate when they started talking about how you live your life. One person told me, they was like, hey, I have no judgments on how you live your life. No judgments. But every sinner will inherit the flames. And I was sitting there and I was like, so you're trying to tell me that you feel that the way that I'm living is sinful and that I'm going to inherit the flames? No, I have no judgment on your life. I have no judgment, but just know that every sinner will inherit the flames. And I said, I don't understand the purpose of this conversation. Like, are you trying to witness to me or what's going on? You keep saying no judgment, but you keep saying I'm going to inherit the flames of life, for every sinner must. And all the time we make shit about what is acceptable to God, right? Is it acceptable for you to kill somebody? Anybody? Is it acceptable for you to kill? Does that rule ever change?
No, I don't think so.
Does that rule ever change?
Yes, yes, it changes.
Does that rule ever change?
The basic rule of...
What's the basic rule?
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill.
But did God write that rule
with an asterisk on the side?
Several.
He said, thou shalt not kill. Asterisk. Unless you're in war, unless somebody is trying to come into your house, unless...
I told you to do it.
What's going on? Like, this is where you get into it, because that's when I start talking about people get into religion. I start talking about all kind of things. Thou shalt not... You should not lie, right?
No.
Never.
It doesn't say that.
Never, huh? It never says not bear false witness?
Yeah, but thou shalt not lie is not what we're saying.
But I'm just saying, in general, all of these different rules or laws, I mean, we love to hold them up until we love to use our relationship. You know, Yo is married. He and his wife have a wonderful relationship. That's their relationship. And they have rules that govern their relationship that make that shit work for them. Okay. Now, when I get married, if they try to put off, well, this is what we do. This is how we live. This is what happens. This is how we run our finances. Now, you know how we start crying. This is how we run our finances. This is how we do it. And that's what you need to do, because that's what marriage is. A lot of times, that's what happens when it comes to religion and faith. You need to do this. They don't say, hey, get out there. And, you know, I want to make sure that you realize that God loves you. And look, I want you, because sometimes people are afraid for you to make mistakes. Like, you can't learn from that stuff. People are afraid for you to experience life. Like, you can't learn from that stuff. There are things that I've experienced in the last 2 to 3 years that have changed the way that I think about stuff. So now when I read thou shalt not kill, I realize if you go to war, are you going to hell? If you kill somebody in the act of battle, are you going to hell? Who can sit here and say, without a doubt, I know the answer to that question?
I know the answer to that question. Maybe. Boom. Got him.
I'm just saying, but God in general. So let's take this out. Y'all are men. Is it ever right for a man to have a mistress or a concubine?
Yes.
I'm just saying.
If your wife gives you permission to do so and she's okay with it, you know, let's just say it's a situation.
Is it adultery in that case?
No, like maybe, like, what if your wife has cancer? She's dying. She's like, hey, I can't fulfill this need, but I want you to still
you
have
see
it.
You see this rabbit hole we're getting into? Oh, but what if it's this? And what if it's this? So
exceptions.
Exceptions to the rule. So does God make rules with asterisks? Or does he know that things change? But they say he's not changing. I don't believe that he changes. But I leave, because the thing is, think about it. Back in the day, how many wives and stuff David had?
He had some Johns. He had hella Johns.
Like, y'all don't realize, like, nobody else reads this Bible the way that I be reading it sometimes. I be laughing, because I be like, they say, yes, and he had 700 concubines. You had 700 concubines? Like, you had 7 other hoes on the side? Then you had 12 wives? You had 12 wives, 700 side chicks, and all these kids, and God is calling you a man after his own heart? Nah, I mean, understanding why niggas be out here being like, look, that's the way God made us. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's going on. Like, I find that hard to deal with. And so for me, I go to God and I'll be like, look, I don't understand how in one era of life it was okay. And maybe now it's not. I don't know. And the hardest thing for people to have is that those three words, I don't know. And that leads to my next rule. It's okay not to know everything. It's okay not to even know your damn self every day. Like, people want to be married to an impression that they want to give people. I got my shit together. I'm the most successful this. I watch people all the time. They'll be like, man, I got my shit together. And I'm like, no, you don't. You're just talking real good. I'm one of those people sometimes to where I go back and be like, man, my shit kind of messed up. I need to kind of, you know, go back a little bit, reevaluate, figure out what's happening. Like, nobody expects you to be deep and know every single thing about yourself and all of creation and everything, because nobody does. You ain't God. You're just a speck of a masterpiece that he put together. And it's not diminishing who you are. It's okay just to say, you know what? I don't know. People ask me questions all the time and I'd be like, you know what? Look, I don't know. I don't know. Let's try to figure it out. I don't know. And I might not know tomorrow. And I might not know 10 years from now. I might not never know. And I'm okay with that. But there are things I want to live my life to the fullest, all right? That was 4. And my final rule in life is, this is not a damn dress rehearsal, so don't have no regrets.
Okay.
It's not. My thing is, does anybody, y'all don't have no regrets? I know y'all got regrets. I know there's things that y'all wish y'all would have did. We all done lived 30 or 30 plus years. There are things that you wish you would have done. And I'm not saying they all good. But sometimes it's stuff that you missed on that you wish you would have done good for someone. Or some stuff that you wish was, you know, a little, you know.
No.
A little risque that maybe, you know, you wanted to get in and be like, man, I should have tried that before I got settled down. But now I can't do that now. But shit. Let me ask her, you know, if she really into that. I'm just saying, I should have tried these things before they happened. My thing is, it's not a dress rehearsal. So you're saying that there's no regrets in your life?
Nope. I don't have one. I think that everything happened the way it was supposed to happen.
You ain't lying because he lied. Yeah, you lied. I mean, you lied.
No. Everybody's different. No.
Dead ass. Mm-hmm. Having regrets, I feel like is a waste of time. If you're going to be a person who is of the faith and you believe in God and you have a relationship with God, right? And you believe what it says in the book, right? Everything happens for a reason, right? God will not keep any good thing from you. You don't know the plans I have set for you. I think that there's an all-knowing person, all-knowing entity that has my best interest at heart. And there's a path designed for me and everything happened on that path the way we're supposed to. And if I can't believe that, then I also can't believe that this is an all-powerful being. That's just how it works for me. So I have to have two and two together in order to make four. So that's just how I look at things.
Man, look, I done been in a restaurant and been like, damn, I wish I would have ordered that. That ain't have nothing to do with God leaving my life. I just said the depths of where we're going here. My thing is, I just have fucking, you know, hey, I'm going to eat this steak. Or I'm going to eat this damn, you know, this dessert. Or I wish I would have shot my shot. I wish I'd have had a chance, you know, with this person. Now, yeah, maybe it's not, but I wish I'd at least shot it. Maybe they weren't for me, but I wanted to build my confidence and shoot the shot. Shit. But literally, I just feel like there are times when I was like, I really wish I would have done that. I wish I would have experienced that. I wish that I would have said that. There are times, I do, and I'm not gonna lie. There are times when I go, damn, I wish I would have did that. I really wish. I was talking to somebody this week about something that I did when I was like 11. Something that I said that I didn't really mean that affected how things played out for the next 20 years. Something that I didn't mean. Somebody asked me a very critical question and I lied and I was just like, yeah, it bothers me. And the thing is, and so this is the thing, if I had just said, no, that shit is cool, things would have been different. Life would have been different. And this is the thing. This is where I get into where we differ when it comes to thinking about God having a plan for your life. I could think God says, I want you to be a successful writer. I've given you the skills and the things to be a successful writer. That's an overview of what he wants you to be. But there are things along the way to be like, maybe you could have had 12 books instead of 5 because you decided to do that. Are you still a successful writer? Yeah. But you could have had 12 books instead of 5. And so you got 5. And I truly believe that. And I'm like, hey, I believe that he's the creator and the author of your life and the gifts that you have. But I just believe that you can have more sometimes and you sacrifice things. Just like when you play in football, you could have a great game. You could have 2 TDs, but you could have had 4. If you would have ran a little harder on that one, if you would have worked a little harder on this one, just to say, well, you know what? I was destined to have a good game, you know? You were. But now there's a difference between a 100-yard game and a 200-yard game. That's the way that I look at life.
I see that. So respectfully, on the other side of that, I see something else, right? For every reaction, for every action, there's a reaction. So let's say that you decided to get that steak. Oh, man, this is what I should have gotten. You didn't get it. You go the next time, you get the steak. What's the consequence of you getting that steak, right? How do you not know that there's something that would have happened negative for you getting that steak? You don't. You don't know what you missed taking that left turn instead of that right turn in life. You don't. You never know what that other choice could have led to. So I'm comfortable in thinking that, you know, I made the right choice, whatever it was. It may have been the wrong choice looking backwards, of course. Hindsight is always 20/20. But at the time, I'm making the best decisions I can because I believe it's going to take me to where I need to go.
I believe it. But, you know, I do have regrets. And if I want to be truly transparent, I truly regret gaining 40 pounds. That's what I regret. And I was like, can I lose it? Yes. But I regret gaining it because I was in great shape when I gained it. And so that's something that I say, hey, there were choices that I made that I wish I wouldn't have made. And I regret it. But and there's nothing for an upturn that can be like, but you never know. Maybe God wanted you to get fat, you know? Maybe it was destined for you to carry a little poundage when you was going somewhere because you didn't know. I don't know, man. Yeah. I'm just saying. I regretted the shit, you know? I regretted the decision that I've made over the last 8 to 12 months that resulted in me being where I am. And that's one thing I don't think we do enough as people. We just don't take ownership for shit. Like, to be like, look, I regret doing this. I should have did this. But I didn't. I bet you there's a lot of men that regret not spending time with their children growing up and being a deadbeat dad and wish they would have been involved. Now, or do they have beautiful relationships now? Some of them probably do. But they probably, you never get that fucking time back. And those are things when I say having regrets, like doing things that, you know, like I might not get this opportunity again. I might not get to come back here and have this steak, or I might not get to spend time with this person again. Are you telling me there's times when you ain't spend time with people that die? I've had people, multiple people die in the last year, and I'm like, damn, I wish I would have got a chance to spend a little bit more time with them. That's me.
No. My grandmother was the last person who passed that was really close to me, and I realized I spent perfect time with my grandmother. Excellent time. I didn't get to see the most unfortunate part of it, but I got to, you know, I prayed for one thing, and I got it. I wanted to see her before she passed, and I was able to do that. And I don't regret not getting there beforehand to see her for some of her birthday parties and stuff like that. Because when you think about regret is a weight that you choose to carry with you, or you can set it down. Some people are crushed by regret and the shame that comes with regretting something. I am ashamed that I wasn't a part of my family when everyone was there because she was sick and I missed that. That shame can damage how you look at people. It can damage the way you wake up any morning. I don't think that you should carry regret like that. And that's just me.
I feel you. But in the same instance, there are things I wish I would have done differently. And I'm just being honest with you. It doesn't mean that I carry it around with me all day long and carry it around for 20 years. There's moments of passion, moments of regret. That's just the way that I feel. But nonetheless, I feel like we all have different rules that govern how we process shit, how we process life. But for me, the biggest things are, you know, keeping it simple, keeping your relationship with God fresh and alive. Because that stuff gets stale. So that's why I'm like, that's your relationship. And then, you know, realizing that shit can change. The one thing that I appreciate about some people is the people that literally allow themselves to be free enough to be fluid. To be like, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to kill myself if I don't believe this way anymore. Or I'm not going to shut myself down if I have a change of heart. There's things called like growing. Because there's some people that I was riding behind a dude that was like, man, I used to be an atheist, but not anymore. I mean, he changed his way of thinking. And so, like, you can't say, oh, well, you can't believe in God now because, you know, the rule is you were an atheist and you governed your whole life being an atheist. No, I'm not that anymore. I believe in God and vice versa. And the thing is, you have, and if I could add a rule, number 6, be willing to accept the consequences for how you live your damn life. Be willing just to accept those consequences, whatever they may be. And just live free and just say, I'm going to accept what comes with what I do. Whether that I'm going to be good to people and believe that it's going to come back to me, XYZ, or I'm going to be an asshole to people and believe that nobody holds me accountable. Whatever it is, don't complain about what's coming your way based on the way that you're living your life.
I like that rule.
And I just think that if everybody would just live that way, because we all end up being entitled. Well, man, shit, I live my life like crap, but I expect people to treat me good. How is that messed? Okay, great. That's your rule. And literally, it's influenced by whatever you've been in, you know, in contact with. Maybe you had a father or a mother that believed that they can treat anybody the way that they wanted to, and everybody just should bow down to them. It is what it is, man. I get frustrated because we as people, you know, everybody in your 20s, I feel like 20 is a time when you really mess up a lot of shit. You know, for me, this is just personally, I feel like you mess up a lot of things. You mess up, you know, relationships sometimes. I feel like 20s is also a time when you mess up your credit, trying to get out of here and do different things. I'm just being real. You know, when you want to go to a party and things that matter to you, that when you become 30, you'd be like, damn, I messed up all my damn credit when I was in my 20s trying to do shit that ain't even important to me anymore. And now I'm trying to do big things and it's stopping me from doing big things because rules change. And literally, I just feel like everybody should just be free and be like, I don't really care about what other people think. I'm just going to be free. And if I change who I am from day to day, and most people call that unstable. Y'all don't think y'all think that's unstable?
Mm-mm.
No. Let me go ahead and just pull this out. I know he's behind the mic and he's not in here. I feel like York has been like the same since I met him. Like the years. Like, yo ain't changed like one bit. Like demeanors, countenance, nothing. Like everything has just remained the same. Has anything ever been like earth shattering that really changed in you in the last 5 years? Yeah.
Earth shattering?
The biggest thing is that you got married, so I don't want to talk about that. We all know that.
Right.
But like anything inside of you to be like, man, this really changed, you know?
Every day. I mean, well, every day is a different challenge that you have to. For me, I have to step up to. So nothing earth shattering. I just live day by day. I mean, you know.
Man, you just keep it simple.
Yeah. I think the rules that you both gave, you know, about your life are valid, you know. I think at this stage, I mean, you've thought through, you know, how you feel about things, so you have your cornerstones, you know, so.
Man, I feel what you're saying. I would love to hear from other people, like, the rules that govern their life. We might need to take this offline and get some other people as well. Because I feel like if you'd have asked me 20, 25, 26 years old, man, my rules would have been lame as fuck. It would have been everybody else's rules for me. And then at about 30, I would have been super, super deep because I'd have been like, oh, I feel like I know all this shit now. I know everything about life. I've gone through things. And then after you kind of get humbled and you go through different things, you start realizing, I don't really know shit. And every day is a day of me being educated and growing and evolving. And so it's cool to hear what other people think. The same way we argued about Lil Wayne album. Like, I'm going to think it's pretty good for the next couple months. And he's never going to go back and listen to it because he doesn't go past track 3.
I got other impressive shit to listen to. Music doesn't stop.
Too many options.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's the thing. When you have too many options, you never have to settle on one thing.
But in rejecting other things, you appreciate other ones. So rejecting Lil Wayne has given me appreciation for the Lupe album.
Like a bubba can't appreciate both of them. But that's another conversation we'll have, folks. It's not binary. But anyway, that's all I got to say. I've been living my best life. I can honestly tell y'all that. The rules that are currently governing me are giving me lots of experiences, lots of opportunities, and I'm just hopeful about everything. But I definitely have respect for other people's stuff. But that's all in a nutshell for me.
That was beautiful.
Whatever. I'm out. Bye.
Later, y'all.